All right.
Ready to go, sir?
Wait for Bruce now. I don't know if you can work yourself.
So it is recording and hot and live.
Okay, great.
You know, if you want to pause it, you just pause it there.
Okay. We'll just let it run.
Okay. Great.
Right. I think we can go ahead and do the pledge.
Okay. Check one, two. Check, check, test.
Okay.
Everybody picked their normal seats for.
Yeah.
I gave Bill the option. All right, we apologize for the confusion here, but we came over here because for safety's sake, to make sure that there was no question about the agenda specifying this is located. So we apologize, but we'll get going. Hopefully, we can get out of here our usual time, 4 o'clock. So we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? Rob, can you do this, please?
Absolutely. Follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Garfinkel.
Here.
Director Zimmer.
Here.
And Chairperson Ohilski.
Present.
All accounted.
Okay, thank you. So do we have any brief board member comments?
Mr. Chairman, I've apologized for only being here till around 2:30, at which point Mr. Hutchinson, my alternate, will occupy the seat.
Okay. Again, my comment is, I apologize for the error in the agenda. We'll make sure it doesn't happen again. So with that, then, we'll move to the consent agenda. There's two items on there, the approval of the minutes from the November 15th, 2017 meeting, and the approval of the warrants, budget update, and invoice register through December 2017. Does anybody want to pull an item?
I'd like to pull the register, okay. Financials.
All right. Any questions on the minutes? Do we have any public comment on the minutes?
I make a motion that we accept the minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah. All in favor? I wasn't at the meeting, so I'm going to abstain. So.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So we'll move that other item until after the executive director's report. It will be the first item on the action item list. Okay, Rob?
So you have in front of you the executive director's report for this last period of time. You have all my written comments, and I just wanted to highlight a few specifics. One is that we've been talking over the last year in 2017 about the zone of benefit analysis. This is the first executive director's report where we went ahead and dropped that off the status update because at this point the parties are looking to fund the capital in our projects through rates and charges at whatever time that the committee decides to reinvigorate a zone of special benefit. We'll certainly put that back on your normal status update. Also wanted to note that you have an update on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. The county is pursuing a boundary modification, and at your next meeting in March, county staff indicated that they'll be ready to give a short presentation on the revised scientific basis for the boundary. So they are going to make another run at solidifying that boundary with the state, and it's believed that we'd have enough evidence this time to satisfy the state's concern with where that fringe area lies. And so all that will come down in March of 2018, both at the Board of Supervisors and also with a verbal update from staff here at this meeting. A quick update on the Los Osos Wastewater Project. Not a lot of change from the last meeting. We've got about 95% of the laterals have been done. So 23 more connections than 2 months ago, so things have slowed down. So of the 214 properties that remain unconnected, about a third of those are waiting for the low-income program to kick in, as you probably saw in the press, and the rest of the properties may ultimately require some sort of an enforcement process, and that's not yet been before the Board of Supervisors for action, but that's going to be coming at some point. Influent flows are still holding steady. No bump up in the influent flows. We're still less than half an MGD, and so those have been fairly static. Effluent currently is being disposed of at both Broderson and the Bay Ridge leach field. And last year, 445 acre feet went to Broderson, so just below the limit. And about 7 acre feet went to Bay Ridge from the period of September through the end of the year. No recycled water has been delivered to date, though that's getting closer here as the parties are negotiating. You have a monitoring well update with your item 7A, your infrastructure item. We moved it to that. And then just for folks who maybe didn't catch our meeting at the last time, I posted a link to the Morro Bay Water Reclamation Facility and a quick update as to what we talked about last time. So in case that comes up again, we could talk about that. And that completes my report.
Rob, I have a question. In your report, you have that map, the Los Osos fringe area boundary.
Yep.
I'm curious. From that, we really can't tell exactly where that boundary is. So I'd like to know if you can tell me the cross street or. If you look at the Montana Dora, which is outside, it's in the fringe area, but where it abuts our current area, what is that line? Is that
you want to know where that cross street is? I'll have to. I can't tell that from the map itself, but
no,
I can get back to you with that. Yeah.
So we can find the cross street. I think it's a street there.
Maybe right about Rodman, maybe, but I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I have a couple questions just regarding the status of the zone of benefit and some of our funding and financial. The fact that we're looking at funding these capital projects through the purveyors, you know, we when we started the plan, that wasn't the case, and so now we're funneling down and narrowing ourselves to that option. And I think that there's other options out there to really consider that. And maybe we can talk about that a little bit more when we get into the specific projects. But I noticed that there's a timeline for completing some of these projects now and things like that. And that just concerns me a little bit. You know, that we're committing to those processes and those timelines when there's other options out there. And the fact that these are being funded solely by the purveyors, when the benefits will definitely are basin wide. And so, you know, I think that the reason why we started down that path was just because we needed to, you know, we have active seawater intrusion and we have to move quickly. And so, you know, the purveyors jumped on that, implemented projects, and we're making that happen. But in the long term, these projects are, or the management of the basin and how this impacts all the users, how do we tie that back in so that everybody's accountable for that and it's not solely, you know, going just to the purveyors and their rate structures? Because the projects that we've, you know, both the district and Golden State have committed have been significant, and I know it's too early to really tell the benefits of that, but I really don't want to continue to narrow ourselves down to a path where we're committed to that when I think we should still keep the assessment out there that although it may be difficult, at the end of the day, there could be some measure that's implemented where it may be a voluntary thing that, or we may be able to do it through this, you know, following the outline of Sigma or something. I wish I had a direct, could give you specific on how to solve it, but it's complicated, it's difficult, but my main objective in making this comment is I just don't want to narrow ourselves down to a certain pathway. that was the comment there. I did have the community meeting regarding the fringe area. Do we have? Did you say we had a date on that or not?
Because Mark might have a date.
So I think last time we were talking about it being in January or February last meeting. I think we mentioned that, but no date yet. Okay, that's fine.
March.
And then the Bay Ridge. So we started deliveries to Bay Ridge. Leachfields, did that just start recently?
September.
In September. All right. And so are we planning to ramp that up, or how did we?
I think after you're done, we'll probably have Mark come up and address that one. I think they can go up to 30
33
or something.
Acre feet. And so is there a selection process, I guess, for are we trying to get all the water there? I think the flows are different than what when that 33 acre feet was established. So are we going to try to put all the 33 acre feet into Bay Ridge or not? Just trying to get a feel for how we're going to manage it and the deliveries to Bay Ridge Estates a little more.
Great.
That's about it for my comments. That's
good.
I really have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So does anybody have public comments on the executive director's report? Okay. Oops. Yes, Lindy.
That's the report you just gave.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So it's the update on the disposal.
Sure.
And feasibility. I guess I don't.
Oh, is that microphone on? Is it a little lighter?
No.
Sure. Yeah, that's. Testing 1, 2.
Are we going to have a chance to talk about the minutes from last month? Is that?
I just did that.
Yeah, that went through before.
Okay. I thought we were starting at 2, so we started earlier. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Steve Best. I've talked about this a couple times, and one of the things I've mentioned here is that we've been putting this water that's coming from the plant up into the Bartison Field and Bay Ridge and so forth, and that's coming from the reclaimed water. And I am wondering, at what point are we putting this water into the ground from the reclaimed facility that we are going to be contaminating our aquifer to the point where we won't be able to pull it out of the ground and put it into our pipes without having to first put it through a reverse osmosis, which is going to have a byproduct of brine waste factor and having to pull a larger percentage of water out of the ground to be able to handle the discharge of the brine. And what happens, you know, we talk about the fact that this water is meeting our standards, and I'm not really clear as to what standards that was, other than the fact that the standards meets the fact that we have to discharge that water, and part of it is that we have to meet the standards of having a plant that will handle our sewer, and so that we can go ahead and remove our building moratorium. So this is a standard that meets the moratorium for being able to build again. So I don't really understand how being allow chemicals to go in the ground is a standard that allows building. What happens if, for example, somebody dumps something into that sewer that is extremely toxic, and it goes right through the system and it comes right back out and goes through the plant and it gets into the aquifer, like a chromium or something of that nature, that is really serious and does some serious damage to our aquifer? At what point do we continue to put our only source of water at risk? We need to think about doing something better with the water that comes out of that plant, and not just filtering and UV. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close. There's no action taken on this item. Did you want to respond to anything?
Well, just that staff notes Director Zimmer's comments, and I think they're well taken, that in removing that item from the status update, don't want to imply that it can't readily come back upon direction, and we do need to keep that in mind. And when we talk about the infrastructure projects, maybe we can walk through each one and see if there is a project that we really don't have any rate-based funding allocated right now, and then and revisit that. Just a very brief note from the discharge discussion that we do have that issue really cropping up here locally with many of the wastewater discharge, this question of how clean is clean enough, you know, with Santa Maria 5 million gallons a day into their basin and Paso Robles into the Paso Basin, many millions of gallons of treated wastewater going into these local aquifers with a level of treatment that's even less than what we're proposing here in Los Osos. So it is something that the state's grappling with, and we're on the cusp of them understanding and regulating some of these trace contaminants that end up in the water. But as it stands today, you know, this plant is very typical of what's done elsewhere in the county, though we'll see what the future holds on that issue. And that's the only comment I have, sir.
Okay. All right, we'll go to action items then, and we'll go to the pulled item first, which was the approval of warrants, budget update, and invoice register through December 2017. So, Bill, you pulled it, so do you have a comment or a question?
I have a comment, actually. When I look at the register, we have the second column called cost incurred, and I'm assuming, I think I'm right, that that's actual invoices that we've paid?
Including the ones that are pending approval. Invoices received.
Okay, that we received. But when you look at the dates on these, it shows that there's a, they end, like, for instance, Wallace Group, your group, is up on their billing, but we have a couple of things here that are, look like AGP. Last time they billed us was in that we recognized was in July, and on the Creek District. Well, I understand why that. The point I'm trying to make is there seems to be, when we try to compare what our new budget, which we'll get to later, and what has occurred so far, there's a real gap in being able to correlate the figures when the year to date or the end of year is missing so many items that we actually will incur.
But some vendors haven't billed us yet, right. And so there might be a rollover from the previous period.
It could be a very large rollover. That's
It won't be large because we've covered all the big items. But there are some smaller invoices where vendors may take a few months to get us a bill, so that is a possibility that we would have some rollovers. But the list that you have is a running total for the entire calendar year, and there are times when it takes a vendor a few months to get us a invoice, but they're the small ones. We reach out to every vendor that's going to be more than $1,000 and ask them for their invoices every BMC period a couple weeks in advance. Say, so if you want it approved, get it in now, because otherwise it's going to wait for 2 months.
Okay. I understand. That was my only issue.
Okay. So do we have any public comment on the approval of the warrants, budget update, and the invoice register through December 2017? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back for action.
Move approval.
I'll second that.
Move motion to approve. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Unanimously. So we'll move on now to 7A, Rob.
Wonderful. So 7A is a standing item to update you on the status of the various infrastructure items. We've also added a schedule this time as requested at your last meeting. So walking through each item, I'll be descriptive so the audience can follow along with me. The district's 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well received approval for a design budget in December, and that consultant's been kicked off and is moving. And so we expect that project to be out to bid here in the coming months, and hopefully we get good pricing on that. And I'll review the schedule with you here at the end on that. South Bay Well nitrate removal and the Palisades Well, those are just items that are listed because they were in the basin plan, but those have all been completed. And as we mentioned last time, the Skyline Well and the nitrate removal facility that Golden State funded and constructed is online, it has been so since October, producing up to 160 gallons per minute. So that's a major shot in the arm from the upper aquifer to offset lower aquifer water, and that was funded solely by Golden State. We do have one program C well where the district is pursuing a well site, and that's going to be discussed in closed session at the district level here in a coming meeting to try to get to an understanding and an agreement with the property owner. And if that is successful, then we'll be able to indicate that we're through the property selection process and on into the implementation process, which would be do the environmental studies, get a coastal development permit, and then design and construct the well. And I'll talk a little bit about schedule on that and funding towards the end. When we look out over the remaining capital projects, things like the water main upgrade in Los Osos Valley Road to be able to shift water around, and the third expansion well under Program C, it's not completely clear that given the reduced level of pumping that's been clearly going down over the last 5 years, that third well is going to be absolutely necessary. We do have a backup site that we're looking at for that well at the CSD level, but one of the items in your coming budget for the next year was in response to your comments in the last meeting, which is let's check in with the model based on what infrastructure has already been put into place and is about to be put into place to see what the predictions are, given that we're at a lower flow lower demand basis than we were when the basin plan was published. And so there's an allocation for you and your budget. And then the monitoring well in Cuesta by the Sea, we've done some siting on that, and there's a little image in your staff note as to where that might occur. And the primary challenge there will be access during construction, and I'm hoping the county can designate kind of a point person to help us walk through the specific X marks the spot on that well on Lupin, because we like the general location. We're trying to work through the nuts and bolts of building it there, having to close the street for a little while we get it done. And so maybe somebody from Public Works can jump in and continue to assist us on that. We're looking to get a bid package out, at least drafted prior to your next meeting. And if you remember, the capital on that well, while it's in your budget, is you wanted to see numbers come back, bid numbers first, before we decided, you know, firmly to move forward on that project. We think it's about $100,000 to drill it. And if you flip to the schedule, we have a graphical schedule of the various projects. It's available online for folks in the audience who are interested. And we're looking at, for the district's 8th Street well, finishing our engineering over the next 3-4 months and getting to bid, and then completing that that process and getting into construction by the third quarter of this year, and finishing out that well and getting it up and running by early 2019. And then expansion well number 2, our Program C well, you'll see that we hope to be closing down the land acquisition phase shortly and then get into the necessary environmental document and coastal development permit, and then engineering and construction taking us out into early 2020 to get that well up and running. For that effort, the district is including funding for that in their current rate, the rate that's now been adopted and is adjusted automatically over the next two fiscal years. And so that might be, just like the Golden State funded expansion well number one, this might be expansion well number two that the district may be able to fund. So at this point, given that it's not clear that expansion well number three is required, we don't have this immediate capital need that is unfunded today, but that could change. And so as we think about the zone of special benefit, it's primarily the cost of this meeting and all of the management of the basin and future projects that may be identified as we see how we do with the projects that we put in the ground. So I agree with Director Zimmer that we still need to be open to that, and staff can certainly bring that back in whatever form you want when you wish to see it. And then as to the monitoring well in Cuesta by the Sea, hope to finish design in the next 2 to 3 months, get out to bid, and construct that by the end of this year. And so that's a schedule, if you so choose, that we'll update, just a simple graphical reminder of where we're at on our projects. And I'd be happy to answer any questions from directors.
Questions?
Well,
Mr. Zimmer looks like he has a question.
No, I'd just like to follow up, because there were answers to my original question, which I appreciate, and helped clarify that. And so, you know, it really, understanding that the district has the funding for that expansion well number two, and, you know, what initiated my comment was the fact that timeline was, you know, really relatively short amount of time, and so I just wanted to make sure we were clear on how that funding would transpire and things of that nature. And also, you know, just bring up the fact that, you know, we there could be other options if there are other wells. Maybe it is another upper aquifer well or something of that nature through the ion exchange unit that we have out there and things like that. That we should just consider all those as we're moving forward. If land acquisition becomes a problem or something happens along the way. Mm-hmm. But no, I appreciate the clarity on that. I think, you know, on the staff level, probably have more detailed discussions on those options and come back to the group would be great.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. If I might, Mr. Chairman, you know, in reference to Mr. Zimmer's earlier comments, I don't think we're shutting ourselves off from the possibility of spreading the cost of the right kinds of projects to the proper beneficiaries of this groundwater resource. You know, the ISJ was crafted with a, you know, not a carve out, but a non-differentiated look at the users that are outside the purveyor's zones of interest. And yet we know there are projects such as potential metering that we might want to undertake as part of the consideration here. So there may be and I think we need to keep moving all these efforts along and all these options remaining on the table. You know, I look at the schedule here, and I think that's great, although I wish I could just shove all of those bars to be about 60% of what they are. And I don't fully understand why, you know, this amount of time is taken to do what seems to me, as a layman in this matter, a fairly simple thing. But we'll allow that this is it. But at the same time, it's great that these are in progress. We've talked about some other options, for instance, denitrifying more upper aquifer water, which could drive the question of whether more upper aquifer wells are drilled. And so one question to Mr. Miller there is whether we're still considering the cost-benefit of further denitrification on the one hand. And the second is a more technical one in trying to prioritize these projects appropriately and get their time frames coordinated with the results that they might produce. We use static modeling to predict the steady state of the basin once various of these projects are in. It'd be interesting under that to understand, you know, what happens when the upper aquifer well comes on board, what happens when the second expansion well comes on board, where do we see that balance. But I'm wondering whether there might be a case to be made for extending our modeling to dynamic modeling. We had a brief conversation about that. It's a $100,000 proposition. But the question, and it's one that's going to bump up against other issues that the county has regarding dealing with the Coastal Commission, is what can we expect to see the timeline on results? That's really where I'm coming from. And so I'd like to suggest that maybe we consider, have at least a short memo on the pros and cons of going to dynamic modeling so we can get an estimate of how quickly this basin might respond, at least in theory, as to, you know, when we put in a particular project, we can use that to prioritize these projects appropriately and to see what gives us the most bang for the buck.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so let's go to public comment on 7A, which is the update on the status of the basin plan infrastructure projects.
Lindy Owen, here in Los Osos. Yes, we are seeing some progress with these infrastructure plans being done and completed. Supervisor Gibson said something. It was great to see progress. He said that he would like to see a non-differentiated look at the users outside this project. Again, there is no balancing this budget, I mean this basin, excuse me, without knowing how much private wells and private users are up to. Everything in yellow here, which is on your thing, but I highlighted it, every single one of those people is taking all the water they want out of their wells at any time. They can't sell it and get it out of the basin, but they can certainly start up new activities with it. We see more and more growth going on outside the prohibition zone, unmetered in many cases. I'm much more interested in slowing growth and watching how we do before we jump into this. You know, we're going to have plenty of water. You know, the plan of looking to say that in 10 years we should have enough water for growth doesn't mean we start putting the growth in now. And I think that's what Mr. Gibson would like, is to see the growth get started. I'm much more cautious. I've still asked the question, could Rob come up with it, just a rough idea of how many years' worth of water at current use this basin can provide? That's all I want to know. I think that's the starting point, and from there, we can either go with less caution or get serious and make sure that we preserve this basin for the future. We're not getting imported water from anyplace else, unless we want to work a deal with Morro Bay for their water. They're treated, you know, untreated stuff that we can treat and reuse. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Yes, Steve.
Steve Best. You know, there's a lot of different factors here. You know, we're talking about the wells and some of the other factors. I keep wondering, at what point, with all due respect to the work and the infrastructure that's been done by Golden State and I can't remember the acronym of the other well district. Apologize, Mr. Finkel, but Garfinkel. But the at what point are we going to look at this district as one district and consolidate all of our resources, and so that we can then look at everything fairly in terms of, you know, this aquifer is not for sale. It's for, you know, management for the entire area, the entire district of Los Osos, and how that impacts with the people that are still on wells and all the neighborhoods and the developments that have grown up over the decades here in Los Osos, and all the infrastructure that we have, and how we can best utilize everything fairly, equitably, and we're not complicating everything by, well, we can do this, but what about this, and how we're dividing everything and parsing it, and what's going to be fair to all the parties concerned. It just seems to make sense. I know it was on the ballot at one time, and people shot it down because it was too expensive. But at what point do the people that have paid twice as much in their water bills, have they paid for the purchasing of Gold State twice over so far? I don't know. At what point are we going to get serious and say, you know, all's fair in love and war? When can we consolidate our entire infrastructure here and have everything under one district so that it is managed properly and we can look at the entire basin as one, whether it's wells or distribution piping to individual homes through one consolidated water management system and not have it be divided amongst different purveyors for profit and non-profit separately.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I really had only one quick question, and that is with respect to the blending project Golden State has at Skyline. Do we have monitoring wells so we can, over time, measure any water level fluctuation in Zone C? In other words, if we don't see any reduction in water levels, that might set the stage for further extractions and some additional treatment to generate a higher yield. So do we know, are we going to know if the water what the water levels are doing? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. We had a couple of questions, so do you guys want to respond?
Sure, I'll take a shot at it, starting with the last one first, that we do have a monitoring network for the upper aquifer water level, and in fact, in our last annual report, we forecasted that this year we're going to add a metric that actually tracks that upper aquifer now that we're producing more aggressively from it, because we, of course, do need to guard against seawater intrusion in that zone as well as the deep zone. Even though the shallower you get, the less potential for seawater intrusion is because of the density of seawater. So we are going to track that and report that. The issue of private well metering came up a few times. That's certainly something staff could bring back if the committee would like to talk about that in more detail. Perhaps we could look out across some of the other SGMA-managed areas to see where the industry is going, where the water business is going with respect to private well metering, and give you a snapshot as to where that sits and what the costs and options would be for Los Osos. Be happy to do that if so directed. And then I, as far as managing the basin as a single unit, that's certainly, at least while we're broken up into different purveyors, certainly the functional intent of this meeting is to do just that. And there can be some advantages to having different entities that have different types of funding. You know, Golden State has a three-year cycle and was able to fund a well at a time when the district was certainly not in a position to do that, and now we're able to do the next well. So there's some advantages there. And then, we certainly will bring back cost information on dynamic modeling and the pros and cons thereof. I think that's a good input for our next meeting. Thank you.
So can I just get we don't need to have a motion. We're just receiving, filing, and then you got input from the staff for future action. Okay, so they'll move on to the adoption of the basin management, pardon me, committee.
Budget.
adoption of the Basin Management Committee annual budget, 7B.
Thanks, sir.
I don't know what happened. I just lost it.
Whenever you say budget, it's hard to get out, I know. reflecting on this year's calendar year budget, several of the entities here are on a different fiscal year. So we forced ourselves onto a calendar year, but did provide in your staff note an approximate split between the two fiscal years for the district. The county could assume we'd use the same split for any costs that they incur. This budget is similar in many ways to last year. Your normal administration, you've been able to do it for less than the $50,000. So we'd hope to continue that over into the next year. And your meeting expenses are very modest. not including the gas we used to drive back over here today. And we did have a few new – I got AGP's cost covered, done. Adaptive management is an item that we've added this year in response to the committee's statements last year that perhaps we could do some additional modeling. We've worked with Cleith Harris to cost that out, and we think around $10,000 of budget for that item would allow us to do some model runs to reflect on infrastructure that's either built or is being built, and do a good job at least forecasting where the trends are expected to go based on various rainfall scenarios. So we think that that's probably worth including that as an adaptive management item. We do have two budget items for the annual monitoring that we do twice a year and the annual report. The split between those two items is trued up a little bit. It's always been around $50,000, $55,000, but we've trued up the split compared to last year based on the actual costs that we incurred last year. And then we continue to allocate some dollars for grant writing, which we used some of that last year. And we did allocate some for creek recharge and replenishment studies, primarily to continue the grant pursuit there and stay up on the IRWM process because we're on that project list as a potential project. And then we did include the Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well in your budget this year, the actual construction of that well, as well as the design rolled over from last year. And so you'll, of course, have that choice before you once we bring back numbers as to whether you actually want to fund that. But given the previous years of funding, we felt like that could be a prudent thing to fit within about a $290,000 budget, very similar to what we had last year. And then we are carrying a conservation program budget, which you'll be able to use to send out mailers. And perhaps if we have a few special meetings, we'll be able to fund those meetings. And so we've got an allocation there. And then we're carrying a 10% contingency as in previous years. So that's a budget overview, nothing too startling, and be happy to answer any questions.
No questions?
Thanks, Gil.
Okay, so public comment on item 7B, the adoption of the Basin Management Committee annual budget. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. So we need, you want to do a roll call? That's fine. Okay, let's have them. I need a motion first.
I make a motion that we approve the annual budget for 2018.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, a motion and a second. We'll take a roll call, Rob.
Great. Director Garfinkel?
Yes.
Director Zimmer?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Chairperson Ohilski?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, passes unanimously.
Good timing, Bruce.
Yeah.
Yep.
I made him stick around for this, and then I told him he could go. Okay, so we have 7C, which is approval of proposals for hydrologic services for calendar year 2018 to be provided by Cleith Harris.
So in previous years, we didn't consider this item until March after the budget was done and you'd gone back to your individual elected bodies, confirmed the budget, and then we brought it back in March. This year, at the request of our consultant, because we really put them under the gun last year to get the annual report done in time for a June action, he asked if we could get even one more month to have more time for rounds of comments, more time for preparation of the document. It would be very appreciated. So one way I think we can do that is to review these proposals, which are very similar to last year, and then approve them contingent on your individual bodies endorsing the budget that you just adopted. And we would not give that consultant notice to proceed until we've received confirmation from each of you that you've done that. It will probably save us a month, and the consultant would really appreciate that month. We'll give them time to incorporate some of the things we wanted to do this year. So you have a couple proposals in front of you. Again, the cost is similar to the previous years. and we've reviewed it and concur with the scope, and we certainly want to do this in preparation for our April monitoring event this year, which if we can get some rainfall between now and then, we hope for some more good results. So be happy to answer any questions.
Not a question, but I think that the quality of the report they did for us for covering last year, I think was, if they continue to do that quality, we ought to follow and give them that extra month, because they did a real big effort on that last one.
There was some midnight oil on that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, public comment on item C6, or pardon me, 7C. I don't know where I came up with C6. 7C, approval of proposals for hydrological services for calendar year 2018 to be provided by Cleith Harris Geologists. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back. I need a motion again.
Make a motion that we approve going forth with the contracts to Cleith Harris.
Okay, with the contingency that until they get the notice to proceed after approval by the four bodies here, then they won't be authorized to move forward.
Yes.
Okay. Second, is there a second?
I'll second that as stated and clarified.
Okay. All right. So I'll take a roll call again, because Mr. Garfinkel, I think, seems to want to have that for the financial items. So
let's do it. Director Garfinkel?
Yes.
Director Zimmer?
Yes.
Director Hutchinson?
Yes.
Chairperson Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so that will move us on to 7D, which is the Water Conservation Program update, Rob?
Yes. Well, pleased to report that the county has now received all of the Coastal Commission approvals that it needs to implement a new suite of rebates. And those rebates include, and there's a list that's posted online for folks that are listening in the audience, but I'll go ahead and list them out. Continued rebates for toilets, but now the washer rebate would be increased to $450, so much more substantial washer rebate to hopefully kickstart that process. Hot water recirculators in the amount of $350 will cover substantial amount of that cost. Continued rebates for shower heads, residential and commercial. A rebate for a gray water system, if you are repurposing your septic tank for gray water, that is eligible for a rebate because it's got a clear connection to the wastewater project. Laundry-only gray water, a small rebate of $50 for that. I don't know if I mentioned, but $500 for the complete gray water system. And then if you have a commercial or institutional property that is being retrofitted for the use of recycled water, that can be negotiated with the county on a case-by-case basis. So a new suite of rebates in addition to the other programs that are available within the community, things like cash for grass under the state's jurisdiction are now available. We are still looking for funding for the repurposing of septic tanks for rainwater use. We do not yet have funding for that. We're scouring grant programs, and we'll be trying to work with folks like the National Estuary Program to see if we can bring forward some funding on that, but we don't have it yet. Attached also to your agenda package is just a reminder of the postcard that the county had sent out to Nipomo and Paso Robles when it did its conservation outreach, and I think one of the folks here brought this forward at our last meeting. I really like the format of that postcard. I think it could be two-sided and simple. If that's something that the committee likes, we'll bring back a mocked-up version of that, and if you want to designate one of you to work with me on that, we can get that on the street. Also, we talked previously about having a special community meeting where we talked about the new retrofits and possibly even be able to talk about how each one works, what it means for your property, their option of either having these things pursued either through a rebate process or through a Title 19 process, get everything out on the table in a community meeting. Staff's prepared to do that and prepared to look at calendar dates for that. We'd love if your Golden State conservation expert can be there if we do set that meeting. I've talked to that gentleman, and he can talk for hours about the toilet options. And so that's the kind of detailed information I'd love to be able to provide at that kind of a community forum. You know, what is a good hot water circulator? What are the pros and the cons? How does it save water? And maybe we could have some different booths and a presentation. So staff would be happy to help put that together within our conservation budget. And that was my update for today, and be happy to get some input.
So on the postcard, I like that idea, and I think that's what we kind of were moving forward based on our last discussion, was doing something of this nature. It does have a good presentation to it, and so I kind of missed how we were going to implement this. Though did you mention you were going to take the first cut at it, or how do we have a?
It would be great if one person from the committee here could work with me and give us a little creative license to include all those rebate programs, and at least have one other set of eyes to look at the look of the thing, and then we'll get it out.
So I'll volunteer for that, and we can circulate it through our Golden State presentation and things like that.
We'll accept your volunteer.
Okay. I didn't think that would be a problem. And then as far as attending that community meeting, you know, that's in line with what we were planning to do also. I'm in agreement with that, and we'll definitely coordinate the timing of that meeting so that Matt can attend to that.
Matt, that was him, yeah. Great.
So that's all my comments.
I just have a clarification or question. The rebates are going to be paid for by the purveyor for their own in their own area?
Oh, no, yeah. No, there are county rebates as part of the wastewater project.
Okay,
yeah. Thank you. I failed to clarify that.
Okay, so we'll take public comment on the water, pardon me, 7D, the Water Conservation Program update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Edwards. I'm a little unclear on how much money is available for the program, for the rebate program. I wasn't aware there was any at this juncture. Maybe I can be enlightened. And I would say that until you actually have any money, it would be premature to promote a program.
That's true.
Unless you have the money. So that's my first remark, and I will say that over the last couple of years, your executive director has spent a lot of time on conservation, a lot of staff time, and frankly, I think that could be better spent. And I've suggested before, and the risk of being redundant, I think the Basin Management Committee ought to get out of the conservation business. I don't think this is really within your purview. The handout or the postcard was referenced that the county has for Napomo and Paso Robles. I believe this card was prepared by the county based on the programs they're instituting. So my question would be, why can't the county prepare a card just like they did for Napomo and Paso, do it for Los Osos? That would be my suggestion. And, you know, if you do go forward with this postcard, my suggestion is that you have a twofold kind of approach. One, if you have money for the rebate program, offer that up. And then as an alternative, the provisions under Title 19. Because really, it's the money that drives the conservation. And customers like options, and if they have options, at least two, then they can decide to take advantage of the rebate program or alternatively look into and perhaps take advantage of the Title 19 program. So those are my thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lindy, oops.
Lindy Owen again. I think the conservation programs are definitely part of saving a basin. I don't know how else you start except by not wasting as much water, preserving what you have. It is interesting that is, I don't know, maybe Mark Hutchinson can explain, is this the $2.5 million that remains in the sewer budget for conservation that has not been spent and it's finally going to be released?
Well, that, if I could respond, that program is ongoing.
It's been on hold. We've been asking for it to continue being ongoing. So, anyway, I think it would be competing with the Title 19 program. The Title 19 program basically is funded by developers getting water credits from homes that they retrofit so they can build more homes. And, of course, we suppose that they're not using a drop more water to put extra housing in here, but that always is questionable. I think all the rebate programs going together is not a bad idea, but I find it very interesting that we've got the competition going from developers trying to get the Title 19 credits versus this basin management group trying to get people to take advantage of further credits that they have no clue are available. The process of making that education process go forward is great. I think we still need some signs on fences that say Los Osos needs to conserve water, so we just remind people. And I believe Golden State, CSD, all have budgets for conservation, and maybe those should be all pooled together for education, funding, printing out the cards to explain better. I look forward to having some, I think Mr. Zimmer will probably do a good job helping put together something that we can hand out to people or a mailer to people, but we need to keep the awareness going. It was brought up by Chuck Cicina that the CSD water users are now back up to 65 gallons a day or something, and we had reached that 50-gallon-a-day peak, woohoo. But everybody's gotten sloppy, and now they just pay out the money to continue using more water. But my household, we have 6 members, and we're down to 21 gallons a day. It can be done. It's just we got to keep it in people's view. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hiya, Il Corin, Los Osos. I'm also wanted to voice that I'm very pleased to hear about the conservation plan and the educational part of the communal forum, because we, now, my household, also working very hard on conservation, would like to learn more. With or without rebates, I mean, we'll do it anyway. Rebates are great, so I would like to learn about it. I did not get all of the details, and I'm not always coming here to the meeting, so, and I don't know if it's on the website, I'll look it up, but I definitely will attend the communal forum to learn more about it and share what we've already learned ourselves from our own experience. We're really working very hard on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Okay, seeing none, we'll close it, bring back. So I think we got the update, and I think I don't think there's any additional input. You got to volunteer, though.
I got to volunteer and want to make sure the committee's all okay with the community meeting and you all attending. And
I think we talked about that last time. So
thumbs up on that. And Mark and I will work on dates. And it might be good to hear a little bit about the funding on the rebates, Mr. Chair, if Mr. Hutchinson wants to.
Yeah, if you want to respond to that question about the money that was in the wastewater project.
Well, first, back up a little bit. Rob did a good job of describing what the new rebates are. I think the more important piece of information is simply this. As far as the county's rebate program goes, and this is for water users within the wastewater service area, previously to these changes, there were a set of rebates available for the required retrofits. So to hook up to the sewer, which you were required to do, you had to do certain retrofits, and those could be rebated. There was a second part to that program which said that if you had already done those retrofits, you know, years ago, and your house was already compliant, there was a set of optional measures that you could get rebates for. You couldn't get rebates for both sets. You couldn't do the required and the optional and get a double rebate. The change, now, by the way, the requirement to hook up to the sewer is still there. There's over 200 properties not hooked up. They're required to retrofit, and they are eligible for the hookup hookup rebates. That money is there. That program is ongoing. The huge change here is that the optional ones, which were limited to folks who had already done the base, are now available to everyone. So you, before you hooked up to the sewer, you made sure you had a compliant toilet, shower heads, faucet aerators, some for commercial. You did all of those. Maybe you got a front-loading washer where you weren't eligible. That was just if you paid for the other ones. Now, if you want to get a new washer, and you're in the sewer wastewater service area, there's a rebate available for that, along with the hot water circulators and the gray water system parts that Rob mentioned. So that's the big news. People who retrofitted, hooked up to the sewer, got rebates. If you want to come back and look at what was the optional measures now, rebates are available for those, and the funding for those is part of the $5 million commitment from the wastewater project. The challenge, of course, when you guys do the card is explain all of that, and then in some other category explain what's available, if there is anything from the LOCSD or Golden State, and then how Title 19, how that whole water credit, which I understand is outside the wastewater service area, how that works. And I'm seeing a really large cards that you're handing out, but
it's a box of 4 cents.
Oh, that would be good.
And one more, some Golden State Water customers are in the prohibition and some aren't. So some of our customers would qualify for some of these, some of the, our other customers wouldn't. And so I know for us that, you know, when we get into our budgeting and things of that nature, would it could come into play that there's maybe funding for other outreach efforts or programs or something like that that would normally pay for some of the rebates, where the customers, Golden State customers inside the prohibition could capture these rebates, and therefore there may be other opportunities for outreach efforts or however we
choose. And I'm seeing the Los Osos Water Conservation Handbook.
So maybe the trifold pamphlet may be a little better option.
Okay. All right. Yep.
You were asked. We were asked pointedly whether the money is available now, and you started to answer, Mark, but then you got kind of shut down.
Well,
is the money available now?
Yeah, the wastewater projects rebate and water conservation money is available for those rebates that are listed in the county program inside the wastewater service area.
Okay, but the money is not available for these we call optional measures?
No, it is. Yes.
Oh, it is. The optional, okay.
Yeah, okay. All the items in Exhibit A are now within that program.
Okay.
As long as they're in the wastewater project area, correct?
Yes.
And Mr. Chair, briefly, we did reach out to County Planning, who did prepare that postcard, and I'm attempting to obligate them to assist us with this one.
You're volunteering them.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's move on then. So our last item on the agenda is 7E, the update on the recycled water agreements for ag users. And I don't know if you want to take this, Rob, because I see that Mark's name is on the report. So.
Indeed it is. He was going to be staff today, but since he's sitting at the dais, Mark, if you don't have a preference, I can give a brief, or I'd be happy to turn it over to you.
Yeah, if you're prepared, go ahead and just brief.
This way you can criticize him.
Yeah,
you can go after me after this. So in response primarily to our item last time where we talked about the management of recycled water, I see some element of recycled water management being on our agenda virtually every meeting. You know, today we talked about Bay Ridge a little bit, and that's something we might want to bring back, is how is this water being applied and how is it being managed. So we asked the county if they'd be willing to come and bring a little more detail onto the issue of the farming community for agricultural use of recycled water. And we do have language in the judgment, and I won't read this all verbatim, but in essence, when the wastewater project was constructed at its current site, it was taking an agricultural piece of property out of production in order to build the wastewater plant at the same site. And as part of the coastal development permit process, the project was conditioned to reserve some percentage of the treated effluent, 10%, for use on agriculture. And the way the condition reads is total agriculture reuse shall not be less than 10% of the total treated effluent. We talked a little bit last time about, well, that can that condition be reversed by an action of the Coastal Commission? And it is somewhat complicated since some of the impacts of the project were mitigated by adding that condition, which has some environmental ties to it. So maybe not quite as easy as just a simple action from the commission, but I'll let Director Hutchinson give you more information on that. The current status of where your various agreements stand is listed on page 2, and I'll go ahead and list this off for the folks who are listening from the audience. There are four properties, and this is available online, along with the assessor's parcel numbers that have either have entered into agreements or those agreements are pending. And those parcels, all agricultural in nature, together will use about 81 acre feet, which is perhaps 10% of where the recycled water may have been when the flows were higher, but now it's closer to 16% of the current recycled water that's being produced by the plant. Early in the conception of the current project, there was discussion of the seawater intrusion benefit of having farmers turn off their wells or turn down their wells and use recycled water on existing irrigated cropland. We had a number of outreach meetings. I got to attend at least one of those where the farmers sort of gave the clear message that because they did not know what the salt content, what the agronomic viability of this water was, they were not in a position to sign up for its use if they had a current source of agricultural irrigation. And so really we didn't have any takers that were existing irrigated ag that were irrigating from the basin. However, there were agricultural parcels that are still in the basin which either didn't have sufficient water supplies or were not planted, and those agricultural owners have expressed interest, which are the four that are listed in your staff notes. So these are unirrigated properties that would be irrigated. And one of the thought processes was if we can irrigate these properties successfully, have them do well, and prove the quality of this and the consistency of this water, then as flows increase in the future, other agricultural users who have current wells in the basin would be willing to jump on board, see that the product was successful in growing agricultural products, and then would be willing to take this water. And that was the overall thought process. So now we're, of course, faced with the challenge of having much more reduced volume of recycled water and still needing to honor these commitments and move forward with the condition as stated, and hopefully the long-term benefit of proving that this water is viable for agricultural irrigation. Also noted in Mark's staff note, the treatment plant does need to have some level of redundancy in the options of sending its water, you know, putting all your eggs in the basket of Broderson and Bay Ridge can be a challenge because who knows what will happen, and we don't have a creek discharge permitted at this point. So having a number of different options available was thought to be an important strategy for managing the wastewater system in the long term. So the next steps would be in making this happen. One is to finalize the recycled water permit through the regional board. That's not been finalized yet. That's pending and should come quite soon. And then to consummate some of these recycled water agreements and begin delivering water. Just as a quick update, discussions with the various purveyors and the school district are in their advanced stages, and we hope that in the coming weeks and months we'll see those agreements reach fruition and be able to deliver some water to the schools this summer if those agreements can be completed. And then establishing an overall construction water program using recycled water within the community. If there's any construction compaction water, something that's been on the county's list. And then formalizing and finalizing the ag reuse agreements. And Mark, can you let me know if I missed anything that you thought was germane and important and augment what I've stated?
No, I think you generally covered it, and as the report points out, there's more than one perspective to the agri-use program when you dive into it. It's not simply a matter of offsetting basin water use, and certainly the concept of operational flexibility for a wastewater project is one that we deal with on a regular basis, and certainly if you think about the fact that wastewater never stops flowing into the plant, the plant never stops running, and then the treated water has to go somewhere. We tend to look at the big numbers, annual acre feet. Important to realize that there are not only variabilities in daily flows, but also seasonal flows. So for the plant to have all of those options is important. And can't emphasize that more in Los Osos because, as everyone's aware, this plant does not have a surface water outfall. There's plants all over the place that have a pipe that goes in the ocean or a pipe that goes into a lake somewhere. They may have that as a last resort because they're doing recycled water. Los Osos doesn't have that. So the full suite of disposal options from plant operational perspective is also important key to this. And I, you mentioned the Coastal Commission requirements for 10% going to ag. Although little known, it's also just as important that the funding agreements from both State Water Board and the USDA required a fully developed project description. Those agencies did not want to extend low-interest loans to a project that had the potential for not being able to run in the long term because there was no disposal site. So while it may not be explicit in the funding agreements, they're huge and I didn't get to go through them in detail. The discussions and agreements with those funding agencies certainly were partly based on, among many, many other things, having the operational flexibility for disposal of treated water. So it can get quite complicated if we start trying to undo things. But I think the last point you made is demonstrating the viability of the water for all kinds of uses could be a very, very valuable thing in the long term as we're managing groundwater in Los Osos.
Okay, any questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment on the update on the recycled water agreements for agricultural users.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Edwards. For the longest period of time, we thought we were going to have too much water as a result of the wastewater treatment facility. Now it's crystal clear that we're going to have virtually half of what we contemplated. We will never, never, ever need dry land farmers to take water. It does nothing for the basin. With all due respect, we've discussed this for years, and I'm shocked that this concept is still on the table, that we're back revisiting this. Let's focus. This is water for folks that aren't using any now. This isn't like schools. The schools are pumping water, or the purveyors are pumping and delivering to them for use. This deliveries of treated wastewater to them will replace the use of potable water. That's not the case with these four dryland farmers. There's no commitment to them. It's right in the contract. You can, with 6 months' notice, tell them you're not going to deliver. The idea that you would go forward and finalize these agreements with them and start delivering water will commit the wastewater project to some 80 acre feet per year in perpetuity. That's insanity. This program has to be buried right now. It's absurd to think that we're going to be shipping water to them. And the idea that these guys are going to really like that water and they're going to tell their irrigated farmer neighbors that this is great stuff is equally absurd. You got to be kidding me. Let's let the ag users use their 800 acre feet per year and let the urban users use their water. But this idea of giving dry land farmers water is insanity. The idea that you can't amend or it's difficult to amend your CDP, that's equally absurd. This would be a minor amendment approved by the executive director. You can amend that CDP to remove the 10% minimum commitment. And likewise, what is the with regard to your loan funding for the project, is the state or the USDA going to call your loan because you don't waste water to four dryland farmers? This is nuts.
Lou Twonotsky, I'm a member of the CSD. These are opinions of my own. I suggest regarding water usage and early users of novel approaches, all people aren't the same. And there's a significant research literature that I used to cover, and a main person in that was a guy named Everett Rogers. And innovations are different in terms of they're easy to adopt, the features of the offer, and what can make them be interested in it early. If you get the early adopters, then the next cadre will adopt, and so on and so forth. And I could give you some stuff if you want to look at it. People are different. The offer is different if you're smart.
Thank you.
I would have to agree with Mr. Edwards. The cost of putting the piping in that we've already had to pay for to send our recycled water that we're paying to recycle to guys, farmers that have no use, no water right now, is ridiculous. I won't waste time on that point. I think that needs to be corrected. Here's my questions. I mean, they go on and on and on. This whole plant was about saving our basin and keeping the water clean. So here we are spending millions of dollars. Many of us can't even afford to live here anymore because of the cost of this sewer that the county put on us. And the idea was that we would have the recycled water, and that would offset some of the water we're pulling out of the basin, and it would stop the sea water intrusion. Now we're, you know, 8 or so years into the whole battle of getting this one done, and I'd like to know, is the water going to the cemetery? It's right there. Is it going to the golf course? And we're talking about it going to the schools. You talk about infrastructure cost. If we're gonna blend upper aquifer water that has nitrates and everybody says the toilet water in it, why can't we take this water and blend it with pure drinking water so that we stop using so much drinking water? We're talking, I don't know, this is making me a little bit crazy, this recycled water. Mr. Gibson had a statement in the minutes. He says, trying to get recycled water out to individual gardens is going to be a challenge. No, we've presented it. You set up a place. We do have a purple pipe place to get the water. You just need to work through whether you can blend it so that it is usable to put into individual tanks in people's homes to water to offset their outdoor use. The whole idea now is to save our basin. That's what we're all here for. And if we want to talk about taking water up to farmers that have no use for the, I mean, they'll use that water to start growing things in a place where they couldn't possibly afford to grow it before at a price that's way too cheap. The farmers that we have now would probably use that water if we had a blending method to give them half of the recycled water so it didn't have as many salts. That's where we need to go be looking. I don't know. I'm really frustrated that this whole project is just, you know, we're using it at half capacity, we're getting half of what we expected. Where was the science?
Thank you.
Good afternoon, or is it evening by now? Steve Best. My first comments were going to be about the fact that some of the farmers were complaining about the salts in the water and things like that, and I kind of saw that point of view. But I was starting to wonder about what about all the other CECs and the other contaminants in the water that if you're irrigating with that and it's landing on the property, what is the residual buildup of that water and the contaminants and the byproducts, and how is that poisoning the soils and so forth, and how's that affecting the ecology in general? That's one thing. You know, I started doing some inquiries about, you know, the ideas that I have as far as how we can a very viable option with the existing plant that we have now, how that can be converted to a potable water production facility. And I just made some simple inquiries about getting some data and getting some other information. And the feedback that I got is back off, because this is already a permit. We can't change the permit. We can't go outside our permit range, which is basically saying, you know, you have, you're required to go with your 10% required agricultural irrigation. It seems kind of ridiculous that we have these limitations on what we need to do to be able to survive, that we've created our own problems with red tape and so forth, with whether or not we're allowed to do certain things that would make the plant better, or even consider them, or have a discussion about it, or whether or not we are required to irrigate with water that is questionable for whatever reasons, or whether that water should be going into the ground, or whether or not we are so divided that we can't between, you know, who's the water, and what about the fact that, you know, we have the prohibition zone and we have the non-prohibition zone. We all crap into the same aquifer. You know, people across the street on South Bay Boulevard are still using their septic tanks, and it's still filtering down into the same aquifer, and they're still drawing off the same wells, still part of the same thread. I think it's just, you know, the stupidity that has gone on for so long is just, you know, it's mind-numbing, like Wendy's saying. But, you know, at some point we just have to stop and say, you know, let's get real. And, you know, stop looking at what we, you know, like 10% requirement and say, okay, is that really a requirement, or can we back off of that and say, okay, where is that, where, yes, if we can't put more water into the Broderson or Baywood, then we have to do something else with it. I understand that.
You need to wrap it up, Steve. Your time's up.
I understand that, but.
Wrap it up, please.
You gotta keep your options open.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep. Any other public speakers? Yeah, Chuck.
Good afternoon. My name is Chuck Sassini. I'm speaking as a private citizen, not as the CSD's alternative representative on this committee. I have to agree with previous speakers about sending water to dryland farmers. I really think that it makes no sense. I don't think that the redundancy needs are there. In your own discussion of operational flexibility, you talk about facility having ample on-site treated effluent storage, a four-time safety factor at the Broderson leach field, and we're moving forward with urban reuse agreements. I really don't think there's a place for dryland farmers here. You've heard from others that conditions are different now. We don't have the water we thought we were going to have. I think that revisiting funding agreements and a coastal permit is not going to be as difficult as you think, given those conditions. I wouldn't be surprised that it's an immaterial amendment to the coastal permit. I just really think that case is overstated, and I'm having a project a difficulty seeing the difference between project integrity and the operational flexibility discussions anyway. But what about the integrity of the wastewater project? That was to protect our groundwater basin. and now we're shipping water outside of that basin. The integrity of that project should be, that aspect of the project should be the one that matters the most. And in terms of the mitigation requirement for taking farmland, how much land was in production that we used for the treatment plant? How much could be put into production with 81 acre feet of water? Is that really a straight offset, or are we putting 10 times more into production than we took out of production? And it almost sounds like apples and oranges mitigation anyway, land for water. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Richard, any speaker after Richard? Okay, you're our last speaker, Richard.
You've heard my concerns before. You know, there's a little discrepancy here in how this is treated. The actual language in the conditions of approval state, total agricultural research shall not be less than 10% of total treated effluent. And then further here it talks about, in addition, and because of the change in the treated water disposal method, funding agency required assurance that the new plant would be able to reach full operation. That is, confidence that a lack of suitable reuse sites and methods would not reduce the ability of the project or operate at full capacity. There is no chance this plant will ever operate at full capacity. The original footprint for that plant in acre feet treated and gallons per day treated is double what it is right now. So unless you're telling me that build out of the rest of Los Osos is going to add double the effluent flow to the wastewater plant, that sentence is nonsensical anymore. Dry land farmers, nobody's mentioned it today, there's no mitigation factor for seawater intrusion. It's zero. So if 81% or 81 acre feet is 16% of flow at this point, 16% of effluent flow has no impact on seawater intrusion. And that was one of the main emphasis of setting up the disposal plan, the hierarchy from top to bottom. And when this was written, this language was written, what should have been in there is agricultural use that is currently in agriculture. But because it wasn't written that way, and I was there back in the day when this was all developed, there was a rush to get these contracts either signed or promises to sign because you had to meet that condition in order to start the project and have the money start flowing. That's absolutely a fact if you go back in the tapes. That was actually said by county staff. So this wasn't back then thought out properly that maybe with the water conservation that was coming, there wouldn't be enough effluent to go around. And now to say that potentially 16% of it is going to go, that's going to have no impact on seawater intrusion, isn't that our issue? We got 4 inches of rain. We have no recharge from septic tanks. And we're going to give 16% to dry land farmers just to, with no impact on seawater intrusion? Really? You take that argument to the funding agencies and the Coastal Commission, that logical statement, it just that. They're going to say, oh, no, that doesn't make sense. We're not going to do that. We need to stick by this guideline. We need you
okay,
to
need to wrap it up, Richard.
It's unbelievable. This should have been addressed years ago. Years ago.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so do you have any comments?
I think we've had a lot of good public comment. I mean, the reason
to
bring
this...
these
are comments that need to be forwarded to the county.
Yeah, the reason to bring this forward is so we have a community discussion of this issue.
Just for the rest of the board members, it was stated that these contracts commits the project to 81 acre feet of ag water in perpetuity. They do not. Once the contracts have run 5 years, and several of them have already run 3 or 4, the water can be canceled with 6 months' notice.
Okay. All right, yeah, Bill.
A question. I believe we know that Monterey County is using their recycled water for farming in many places. What is their recycled water, the quality of their recycled water compared to our quality of our recycled water?
It'll be similar in character. There's no shortage of examples statewide for agriculture, especially these days.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily satisfy a farmer who hasn't seen any test data because the plant wasn't flowing. Now we have real test data. They can analyze that in more detail. But when the farmers were approached years ago, there was no data. So just taking, you know, some projections and committing to it on that basis, they weren't willing to do it. But Monterey is a great example of a successful ag.
Okay, thank you.
Again, this is comments that need to go to the county, so we can forward them to them, and you can forward them in person. Okay, so last item on the agenda is public comments for items not on the agenda. Remember, this is for things that were within our jurisdiction, not just general items, so if anybody has public comments for items that were not on our agenda, now's your opportunity.
Lynette Tornotsky. I'm not certain if this is kind of off the agenda. It wasn't quite on the topic of our last point we talked about. I was wondering about the water coming back into town. I'm on the board of Celebrate Los Osos, and we are waiting to get that recycled water, and we're wondering if there's some kind of a timeline that we could know about. We want to repair the median in front of Ralph's. It looks horrible, but we need the recycled water to do it. So do you have any kind of a timeline as to when the water is coming back into town and we can pay for the recycled water to get that median fixed up? Thanks.
Thank you. Lindy?
Lindy Owen again. First, I wanted to say excellent minutes. Whoever does them, very helpful. I wasn't able to make the last meeting. And I want to go back to, I mean, we're still kind of talking about recycled water, but the point is that the farmers were approached. The reason we built the plant that we have is because we made this bus trip with the Coastal Commission up, and we looked at the recycle plant. That was the whole wahoo, let's do this design. So the fact that that water is used on ag, I think the problem was is that the county wanted to charge more than the farmers were willing to negotiate. So if we can lower the price and have the farmers look at some infrastructure if they want, or use partial recycle versus partial from their things, we'll be successful. We could have a lot more used by farmers. The one thing is that either the schools are using water out of the ground, upper aquifer hopefully, but mostly a lot of drinking supply, dumping it on to have green grass for the kids to play on. Or we bring them the recycled water and they put it on weekends. And we need to think outside the box a little. This is recycled water. It's basically water we're paying for, and it's not to be dumped. And that's the mistake that I believe the county made. I want to go back to, so again, I think the recycled water needs to have an affordability factor before ag will be interested in it. If it costs the same for them to pump it out of the ground as it's going to cost to pay the county to deliver it, why would they want county water? I want to go back to the issue of, I heard some talk about the Morro Bay sewer plant. You know, we've got... I don't understand why Morro Bay is going to spend $200 million to move their plant from an area that they can no longer have it all the way close to us. We spent $200 million on ours. We put infrastructure in. I just don't even see the price difference for it. We're using half of our plant, and out of my, my billing, I pay for the other half of the plant that we built, even though I'm not paying for operating cost. So we're stuck with that bill for eternity, as far as I'm concerned. Morro Bay is going to be stuck with the same kind of nightmare. So why are we not looking at some way that they kind of pre-treat their stuff when it comes to this new plant that they're going to put in, and then figure out a way to get permission to triple pipe it, if you need to, across a wetland? You know, it's been done. We're shipping oil across areas where we don't even do it. So I wish we could stay on subject. I think Morro Bay needs to think about it and do some cost analysis. How much does it reduce our cost for this sewer and make it useful for the full use that it was designed for? I think we got a crappy deal from the county for what we've got, and I think it was intentional for future growth, but we didn't get that pipeline from Nacimiento, did we?
Okay.
I think that was on the original plan along with spray fields.
Okay. Thank you.
Steve Best. When I toured the plant, it was my understanding that what I was seeing in terms of the total productivity of the plant was based upon its redundancy. The plant was designed and built for redundancy, so that in case of catastrophic failure of any one component, that the plant would be 100% capable of handling the output of the town in its entirety without creating any kind of catastrophe or crisis. And from that standpoint, redundancy is a very important engineering and valuable asset to have. So it also provides less wear and tear on the equipment, longer-term viability of the plant, and less maintenance cost. So from that standpoint, the productivity of the plant, I'm not sure exactly how it should be stated, but I don't necessarily see it as being twice the capacity or being underused by half. But I had proposed a design a while back that could have added some funding from the state that would have dealt with the saltwater intrusion, and that was a swimming pool for Los Sosos, a high-quality facility that was more of a retail outlet with shops and restaurant and a swimming pool, daycare, physical therapy, that would use the salt water from the saltwater intrusion area, and that water then would then go out to a pond, serve a outside park, and then that water would then go to the plant where it could be desalinated through the same process that water would be when the sewer plant would be treated as potable water. And that would increase the capacity of water going through the facility and back into the aquifer and controlling the saltwater intrusion dramatically. So, and I'm looking for people to talk serious about it because it's a viable plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Edwards. Some comparisons were made between our groundwater basin and the Monterey groundwater basin, particularly as it related to agricultural use. And for those that aren't familiar with that situation, I'd like to brief you on it. Monterey is 180 degrees different than Los Osos. The situation in Monterey is that their agricultural uses and their farming occurs along the coast. Their wells are high in salinity. They have very poor water quality. So when they were presented with the opportunity to receive treated effluent, they jumped at it because that water could be blended with their less quality water to produce reasonably good water. We don't have that situation here. Our irrigated agriculturalists are away from the ocean. Our urban area is near the ocean. They have excellent water. That is the fundamental reason the existing irrigated agriculturalists in our valley are not interested in your water or our urban water. So if we're going to draw comparisons between us and Monterey, we need to get the facts straight because they're substantially different. And in closing, Mr. Chairman, on the last item, it called for a receive, update, and provide input to staff for future action, and you did not do that. I would respectfully request this committee
take a position on the potential delivery of treated effluent to dry land farmers. We cannot give that water away for one day, one year, or in perpetuity.
I wasn't going to speak until I heard Lindy's comment, and sorry, Lindy, but the affordability for ag delivery is absolutely there. That has always been part of my issue. $100 an acre foot. So if all 81 acre feet were delivered at some point, you're talking $81. $8,100. Doesn't even cover the cost of pumping it, treating it, and delivering it. Not anywhere close. Water going to the schools, the school contracts that were originally let, I think the one school district was $1,800 an acre foot, and the other was 21 or something like that, somewhere in that range. I'd have to look in my paperwork. But you've made it so attractive to them to take it, and you still couldn't get farmers that are actually growing crops to take it. Dryland farmers, that's who you've got at $100 an acre foot. So, yeah, they're willing to take a shot. You put the infrastructure in all the way to their front door. I don't know why it's so hard. You know, no project is perfect. Wastewater project, the original wastewater project wasn't perfect. Remember, 880 acre feet were going to go to Broderson. Where are we now? Mistakes happen. It's okay to say we made a mistake and go back to the agencies and say, in our best interest, in our community's best interest, in the best interest of those people that are paying for this project, water going to dryland farmers at a loss that our client, our customers are paying for with no mitigation factor for seawater intrusion is not the way we want to go in the future. Coupled with, you're never going to hit capacity of this plant. Unless the county says, hey, you can build 10-story skyscrapers in Los Osos apartment buildings, you're never going to have the effluent flow that that plant was built for. And that was my issue from the start, that the plant was overbuilt. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead. Pardon me.
Chuck Cicinia speaking as a private citizen again. The Bay Ridge leach field has a minimum commitment of 33 acre feet, I believe, if you look in the permits, and that's for environmental mitigation, the downstream wetlands. And I believe that we have an obligation to preserve the wetland acreage no matter what it takes. So it may be that more than 33 acres can be going there. The elephant in the community that keeps getting bigger, and it comes out at LOCAC because we're starting to see a lot of applications for remodels and new homes. And new bedrooms are new water use. There's no position consistency that I can see. Many of the applications say we have a will serve from Golden State. None of them have provided a copy of that will serve. So I guess I'm wondering, are they being handed out? I know the CSD, being under a level 3 severity of water shortage still, we're not processing will serves. Is the other half of town getting will serves? I think that's something we need to be talking about, and this committee needs to start maybe taking some stands, again, maybe against the shipping of water to dryland farmers would be a good place to start. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, any other speakers? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll address some of those comments in next meeting.
Yes, sir.
And then, our next meeting is scheduled for February 21st.
Yeah, it's likely going to be a March meeting.
Well, that'll be March 21st.
Yeah, and it will be at the South Bay Community Center, which will be correct on the agenda.
I can guarantee you we're all going to double read that, so... Yeah, I think we got some good comments today. So
very good.
I think that you can pass those on to your staff at the county, and then we'll also write something up that can pass it on with our minutes to the county as far as direction. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have to figure out a way to not.
Zimmer, you're good, man.
I don't know.